Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this wonderfully sunny morning. Lord, I want to thank you for this weekend that you've given us to be with our friends and our family, to come together and return thanks for all those things that you've done for us. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your living word. Lord, I ask that you grant me wisdom this morning so that I may speak your word, speak your will. Heavenly Father, I ask that the hearts and minds of those out there that are meant to receive it, that they'd be open to hear it, to understand it. Heavenly Father, as we go out into the week, Lord, ask, Lord, that you remind us of your promises. And as we come across those that you've put in our paths so that we might extend your hand through our small actions, Lord, I ask that you remind us of your living word again so we can stand on it true. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're continuing on with the series on the Holy Spirit this morning. And like I mentioned last week, we're on part 5, subpart A. Now we're on part B, subpart B. Because we're taking a little detour from the Holy Spirit, and we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So last week, or last time that I was up here speaking, we talked about knowledge and wisdom, the first two gifts. This week we're going to talk about faith and healings. And this morning's scripture we read through about Peter. How Peter was traveling to Lydia. And he came across a paralytic man and he healed him. And then he went to visit Tabitha, who had died. And he commanded her to raise up, similar to Jesus with Lazarus. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit goes beyond death. And it's here and it abides inside of us. You see, Jesus said, "You'll do greater works than I," after he left. "You'll do miracles. You'll heal. You'll cast out demons. You'll raise from the dead." And Peter did these things, and the other disciples as well. But it's the same Holy Spirit that's with us today. So we're going to talk about the gifts of faith and healings. Let's start in Matthew. If you turn with me to Matthew 17. Because we need to kind of put into perspective faith. That's the first of the two that we're going to talk to. Matthew 17, 20 and 21. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." You see, the disciples had tried to cast out a demon in the prior verses, and they couldn't do it. And Jesus came and he was able to cast them out, and they asked, "Why weren't we able to do what you just did?" You see, when we talk about the gifts of faith, we're talking about a gift of faith beyond just the faith in salvation's grace. You see, all believers are given that, the faith in salvation's grace, the faith that Jesus Christ paid for your sins in full. So we're talking a faith beyond that. That's the gift of faith. And that is the faith beyond saving faith, but faith in the will of God. That the will of God can go beyond what we believe natural. That the will of God can go beyond what we can see just with our eyes. That the will of God can do things that we believe are unheard of. And that's what the disciples had ran into. They'd come across a demon and they had a doubt in their faith. They had a doubt in the power of God through them. They had a doubt in their own ability to act on God's behalf here on earth. And they didn't have that faith. You see, Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, and we all know this verse, you can tell this mountain to move. That's the gift of faith. A faith of the will of God beyond what we can naturally believe, what we can naturally conceive. That this will of God is so powerful that He could physically move a mountain from here to there. That's the gift of faith that we're talking about when we see the Holy Spirit and the gifts that He gives us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believed and therefore speak, knowing that He who raised up Lord Jesus will also raise up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. You see, some of us are given this gift of faith that goes beyond normal reason to help all the others. You see, when we're in this dark situations, when we don't know how we're going to get through it, God will put someone in our life that He's given a gift of faith to, that'll grab a hold of our hand and say, the will of God is still in your life. The will of God is still working in your life. And there is a greater purpose to this. You might not see it. I might not see it, but it is there. All things happen for a reason. And that person grabs our hand and walks us through it. You see, it's there for the benefit of us all. When we look at the healings of Peter, Peter came to that paralytic man and he healed him, and it said those in Lydia believed on the Lord. You see, we might be going through a struggle where our faith is there for others to see. Our faith that we can get through it so that others might go, what is this Jesus that they have that allows them to stand in this dark time and still see sunshine? You see, we focus in on ourselves in these situations. We tend to look at what we're going through, not so much what the world sees us going through. And that's where the spirit of faith comes into play. So that God can use us in those situations to reveal Himself to others. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, we might be struggling through something, and that faith is there, and that faith shines to those around us, and they look at it, and that might be the thing that brings them to their knees before Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I don't know what You're doing in their lives, but I'd like a part of it. And it has an eternal reward. An eternal soul gets pulled from the grips of hell because of the situation we're going through. That's a gift of faith. You see, when Peter made Tabitha raise from the dead, Tabitha had done all of these nice things. She'd made garments for those around her. And all the widows were up there in the room saying, see what she had made for us. You see, she had touched all of those lives. But after Peter raised her from the dead, and she awoke, the people of Lydia and Smyrna, they all believed. You see, they knew her for what she had did, but they didn't know her for what she believed in. A living God that had power over death. And through her situation, her very personal situation, her affliction, it says. It was temporary, her own death. There was an eternal reward You see, we're talking about faith and healings today for a reason. They're pairing the Bible together for a reason. Just similar to the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. They often come in pairs. These gifts often come in pairs. But before we can transition from faith to healings and the gifts of healings, we have to talk a little bit about illness first. Turn with me to John 9. The Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see, our suffering can result from our sins. And there are entire churches that preach this, that if you're suffering, it's because there's some sin in your life. There are entire denominations that profess this, that if you're suffering, if you have some sickness, there must be some sin. And they work with you to find out what that hidden sin is, so it can be repented for, so that you can receive your healing. But they don't read the rest of this. Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. You see, sometimes we suffer, not because of sin, but so that we can reveal the works of the Lord. You see, those denominations forget to read the book of Job, chapters 1 and 2, where it talks about why Job went through the suffering that he did. It wasn't because of a hidden sin, like all of his friends and neighbors had thought. You ought to go kill yourself, Job. That's what they'd said. You've done something wrong. It's a popular religion out there nowadays, though, to seek out sin among the suffering, instead of seeking it out as an opportunity to glorify the Lord. Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. You see, the disciples were in this because the Jews were in it. That's the way they thought. And they thought that because of the Old Testament acts that had occurred. But they'd skipped over Job as well. So before we can talk about healings, I want to make sure we're all clear. Just because you have an affliction, just because someone else has an affliction, just because someone you see on the street might be suffering, that doesn't mean it's because of sin. It could be there as an opportunity for God to be glorified through their situation. And before we grab up that stone and start chucking it at those sinners, we need to check ourselves and make sure we're not getting in the way of God's work. So what are we to do with the gift of healing? Turn with me to James, if you would. Chapter 5. Verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we as a church body, if there is someone suffering amongst us, they are to come forward so that we may lay hands on them and pray for them. If they're in sin, those sins will be forgiven. But it doesn't have to be because of sin. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. I don't know if you've been in a situation like this before. I know I have. Where someone you don't really even know stops you. And you can see behind their eyes, they're about to just break down. But they're suffering. And they say, I don't know why. Well, I'm supposed to have you pray for me. You might be in a gas station when that happens. You might be in a store. You might be in an inopportune time for it, from our perspective. But the God that can see into every one of our hearts, pick that time. So that we can present a fervent prayer for someone else. James 2:26. Wow. I think I actually wrote down the wrong verse again. Sorry. I'll have to skip that one. Acts 28. I write my notes in handwriting first, and then I go back and type them up. So that tells you how bad my handwriting is sometimes. Acts 28, verse 8. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had disease also came and were healed. See, there's a reoccurring theme here. With Peter, when he healed the paralytic man, when he asked Tabitha to raise up, and when Paul laid hands on this man with dysentery, there was a greater effect than just that one person. The community benefited from it. You see, God's healing reminds us that He cares for our greater and our personal well-being. Not just a single person, but an entire community benefits from it. So when we have these situations, let's turn to Acts 14, verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker.
Then the priests of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness, and that with these sayings they could scarcely retrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them." You see, Paul and Barnabas, they had healed a man that couldn't walk from birth. And that was a miracle of God's work. But Satan was lying amongst the people. And what he did was he started talking with the people around there and he said, "Hey, they're doing it because this is Zeus. Zeus has come down here to heal you. And Hermes is here too. Go get your oxen so we can sacrifice to these gods that are walking amongst us." Paul and Barnabas. You see, their heathen minds were being tempted to blaspheme the power of the Holy Spirit, the only unforgivable sin. And they're saying, "No, this couldn't be power of a living God working through these men. They have to be gods themselves." And Paul and Barnabas, this infuriated them so much they ripped their clothes. They tore them. And said, "No, we're normal men. What you're seeing is the glory of God. It's the same God that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead." And when we're in these situations where God has put us out there to heal, we must understand that we're still in a battlefield. And that Satan might try and twist that situation to take power and glory away from God. To change the focus. There are ministries all over that profess healings. Write your suffering on the back of the check when you send it in. Matthew 10 and 8. "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Satan has power too. What did you pay for your eternal salvation? Nothing. You got the most precious thing there is on this entire planet for a single person to receive salvation. For nothing. We're to freely give. And if you've been given a gift of healing, remind yourself daily. You're to freely give it. We're not to use it as an opportunity to build a new building. We were given salvation freely. We're to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead,
and cast out demons freely. And if you see others doing otherwise, you've just been empowered with the Word of God on it. What He has to say about that. So when we're in these situations, we must be diligent in pointing to God, not ourselves. We must be diligent in reminding ourselves that we were given freely. We're to give freely. But when we talk about faith and healings, we can't stop without pushing into the sick that don't get healed. So let's go to 2 Timothy 14. There's no way that could be right. So I'm going to say it's 4. My writing must have been really bad. 19 through 20. Yep. 2 Timothy 4, 19 through 20. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. You see, we have letters here of Paul to Timothy. This is the same Paul that told a paralytic man to get up and walk. This is the same Paul that had preached through many countries by now. And he's writing to a young man, Timothy. He's demonstrated he has the gift of healing. He's demonstrated that he has faith in the will of God. Ask yourself then, why would he leave one of his students, Miletus, sick? Is it because you don't think he believed enough? We've already proven that wrong. Is it because you don't think that he had been given a gift of healing? No. So then why would Miletus still be sick? And why would Paul even leave him that way? Turn with me to Galatians 4. And 13. Actually, we'll go back to 12. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. Paul again. He's saying, you didn't hurt me, but you know that I was hurt. You know that I was suffering, and that's why I went to you guys first. See, Paul had a gift of healing. He had faith, but yet he was injured. And through that injury, God brought him to Galatia. See, had Paul been in his right physical being, he might not even went to those people first. But God had a plan. So Paul was injured. And because of that injury, he went to Galatia first and preached there. First Timothy 5:23. Here we have Paul writing to Timothy. He says, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Here's Paul writing to the young man Timothy that he's been raising up to teach for him on his behalf. And Paul says, hey, sometimes the water makes you sick. And I know that you get sick pretty easy, Timothy. Drink a little bit of wine too. And he's giving him advice. You know, see, there's three examples where, yeah, all three of them could have been healed just like that. But they weren't. And they weren't for reason. See, if Paul had felt better, he might not have gone to Galatia on his own accord. If Timothy didn't have infirmities, he might not have been as received by the people that he went to. But God has other reasons too. My Father when I think back as a kid is a strong man. I didn't think anything could touch him. I've seen my dad brought down. And now when I look at him, I see the power of God getting him up every day. I see the love of God helping him to make it from a bed to a chair. My Father, and I see God's love. And that's not what I saw before. We don't have all the answers in front of us all the time. Why one person can be healed and another one not? We don't have the plan. We don't have the playbook. But we're to have faith that there is a plan. And we're to remind each other of that. I don't think there's a single one amongst us that wouldn't want to see Jim walk all the way up this aisle. But he's not in that chair because he doesn't have faith. Because he doesn't believe in healing. God has a plan for this. Through him, we get an opportunity every time that he comes here to show God's love. Just like the man that was sick couldn't get out of bed and his friends had to open up the roof to lower him down so he could see Jesus. We carry him up those stairs in here so that he can be amongst other believers. Teach us. God makes us a part of his plan. Every one of us. I know there are times when there's things that we do because of where he's at that we wouldn't have done otherwise. Jesus bent down and he washed the feet of his disciples to show them how much he cared for them. We get an opportunity to kneel down and move Jim's legs on his wheelchair to show him how much we care for him. We wouldn't have that opportunity otherwise. Don't think it doesn't go unnoticed on his side. My father, when he falls, I have an opportunity to go over there and help him up. My dad, who didn't need my help for anything growing up, I get a chance now to help my dad. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your greater will in all of our lives. Your greater plan that goes beyond what's visible to us reveals those invisible things. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for all those opportunities you give us to demonstrate your love and to see your love. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given us to guide us, to grant us faith when we have those dark times, Lord, when we don't know what's going on. But just like the birds, we're not to worry about it. You'll take care of our needs. I want to thank you for the gift of faith. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the gift of healing that you give in the right time so that it may glorify your name, glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, so that there may be an eternal reward, an eternal effect from a temporary cause. Heavenly Father, as we go out this week, please continue to remind us that that same Holy Spirit that was with the disciples, that was with Paul, that was with Peter, that was with Barnabas, that was with Timothy, is with us today. It's not diminished in any power. Lord, give us the boldness that when you ask us to act, that we might do so unfaltering, Lord. And Heavenly Father, remind us that your Son gave his life freely, granted us salvation freely, so that we might do so as well and give of the gifts that you provide to us freely. These things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll be singing in the red hymnals. Silent Night, Holy Night, that's page 195. We'll sing all three verses. They're in this call for invitation.